from John's Gospel. Once again, as we've been working through John's Gospel there, you'll find that on page 111, we'll be reading John 17:11. This is the upper room experience from chapter 13 through our present text, where Jesus is giving his last will and testament. And this chapter 17 is sort of known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus as he prays for his disciples then and now. So as is our custom, let's stand for the gospel lesson. We'll be beginning kind of midstream here in verse 11. With the prayer here, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them. Not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy complete, made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Today, of course, is Mother's Day, and it's a day when we honor our moms because, let's face it, we've learned a lot from our moms. Isn't that right? I don't know about you, but I learned a lot about religion from my mom, as she told me numerous times, listen, young man, you better pray I can get this out of the carpet. You better pray. That's how I learned to pray. She also taught me about medicine. Keep your eyes crossed that way and they're going to get stuck that way. That's a medical fact. Did you know that? Or she also taught me to be a contortionist. Look at that dirt on the back of your neck. How did you get that dirt on the back of your neck? I don't know, Mom. I can't look at it. It's in the back of my neck. Who do you think I am? She taught me how to do a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, go outside and do it. I just cleaned in here. Did your mother ever say that? Of course, my mother also taught me about genetics. You are just like your father. How many of you ever heard that one? She also taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. That's pretty irrefutable logic, isn't it? In fact, if you argue with that logic, then your mother teaches you the fear of the Lord. Wait till your father gets home. I heard that word a few times. That put the fear of God in me. I don't know about you. I don't know if you had any mothers like that. Maybe you had a bit of that in your moms. But since today is Mother's Day, and since Mother's Day always falls on a Sunday, the second Sunday of May, traditionally there have been many sermons preached on mothers in pulpits. I say traditionally because in modern times, many preachers don't like to preach on Mother's Day. They say it's a little too sentimental, a little too sappy. So to others, regard it as a bit sexist or chauvinistic, since it seems to suggest, at least to some, that motherhood is the only calling that a woman ought to pursue. Thus, professional women who are not mothers often feel sort of like second-class citizens or second-class Christians, somehow missed their true calling in life. Well, we certainly don't want to suggest that on this Mother's Day, as we believe here at Second Union in the full equality of men and women, as the Bible clearly says in Galatians 3:28, that in Christ there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. We're all one in Christ. And whatever calling God has given you, that is a calling worth pursuing. Amen? Amen. So we affirm that. However, at the same time, we do not want to be like so many in the secular world who seem to suggest these days just the opposite, that is, that women who are content to pursue being a full-time mom are somehow of lesser status vis-a-vis professional women. We don't buy into that either. Instead, we affirm, as the Bible affirms, that motherhood is one of the highest callings possible. Right? Hence the title of my sermon, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Rules the World. For what greater calling can a human being have than to love, nurture, disciple, and develop another human being made in the image of God, made to live up to the glory of God, and to be a major part in making that happen, of raising up true women and men of God who serve in His kingdom. I mean, what higher calling in life could there be? That's an important calling. A very important calling. Of incredible influence. Like, I remember years ago, the late, great Billy Graham was once asked why he didn't leave preaching and go into politics. Why didn't he run for president? He was so popular. Just leverage that popularity into the presidency. And he refused to do that for two reasons. Now, this is back in the day. First reason was, when his wife found out that he was considering it, Ruth, and if you know Ruth, she spoke her mind, Ruth called him up and said, "If you run for president, I will divorce you, and America will not elect a divorced man." That was a pretty good argument. The second argument, though, the reason he didn't do it, because he felt that if he became a politician, even if he became president, he would have less influence on the nation than he had as a preacher. And I think he was right in that. So too, the influence of a godly mother has had incredible impact in the course of human history, equal to or greater than any other calling she might ever consider or pursue. In fact, here's a profound question to consider. Do you know anyone whose mother prays for their children all the time, every day? Anybody know any mothers who pray for their children every day? We have any moms here? Very good. Christy does. She prays for our kids every day. A praying mother. That's a powerful woman. Did you know that? In fact, I wonder if you know the name Monica. Some of you may know Monica. She was born back in 331 AD in northern Africa, present-day Algeria. She became a Christian when she was a teenager, as Christianity was relatively new in that part of the world back in the day. Therefore, when her parents decided to marry her off, they did not consider her Christian faith since they weren't Christians, so they married her to a pagan by the name of Patricius. And Patricius was a pagan, and Patricius' mother lived with him. So Monica had to move in with her pagan husband and his pagan mother, and they were not nice people. They were very hot-tempered people, difficult to live with, but Monica exemplified the fruit of the Spirit and loved her husband, loved her mother-in-law, so much so that by the end of their life, they became Christians. But up until that time, they sort of tolerated her, but they permitted her to raise their three children as Christians. Two of them became Christians, but the third, the son, named Augustine, did not want to be a Christian. Instead, he wanted to pursue the pleasures of life, particularly the pleasures, sensual pleasures, of women. One of his contemporaries said of him as a teenager, he was a lazy, uncouth individual. That describes a few teenagers I know. Well, Monica didn't give up on Augustine. She prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him into his 30s until eventually, finally, Augustine became a believer. Julio, your wife's name is Monica, isn't it? Our own Monica's here. What happened once Augustine became a Christian? Well, if you study the history of intellectual history, if you study the history of intellectual theology, Augustine has had some of the most profound effect on Christian theology of any individual ever. In fact, Augustine not only had a dominating effect on Roman Catholic theology, but a dominating effect on Protestant theology, because do you know that the great German reformer Martin Luther, before he became the great German reformer, was first an Augustinian monk? His order was the Order of St. Augustine. And if you study Luther's theology of grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, he not only got that from the Apostle Paul, but he also got that from whom? St. Augustine. St. Augustine had a profound effect on Western history, on Western Christianity, on Eastern Christianity, on the world. Why? Because his mother wouldn't quit praying for him until he was a believer. Now that's influence, isn't it? That's a calling. That's a very high calling. So moms, don't stop praying for your kids. You have a very important role in society. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Amen. In fact, I wonder how many followers of Christ here today are here because of their mom. So I think it's only appropriate that we honor moms today. And in our text today, here from the Gospel of John, Christ is praying for the church. And Jesus loved the church like a mom loves her children. Thus, just as Monica prayed for her children, Jesus prayed for us. Now listen carefully to his words as he's praying. He says, Holy Father, that's the only time in the New Testament that God is addressed that way, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I will remain in the world no longer, but they, his disciples and us now, disciples, are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I've given them your word, and the world has what? Hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. I'm not asking that. But that you keep them from the evil one. So on this Mother's Day, let's talk about Jesus' prayer for us, the children of God, that we might be one, that we might be united, that we might be of one accord. And that's important as moms and dads, to be one, to be of one accord, to be united as one. Did I always tell men in counseling sessions, marriage counseling sessions? I say, you want to love your kids? You want to really, really love your kids? You want to really love your children? Love your children's mom. Love your wife. Because if you love your wife and you're secure in that love and she's secure in that love, then your kids are going to be secure individuals. And that's going to give them a major edge in a world out there when so many people are insecure. What a gift you can give to your kids. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Be one. Be one. Be united. Be together. This prayer for unity is a prayer for all Christian marriages, isn't it? So too, is this not a prayer that all moms and dads would pray for their kids, that they be united? I don't know about you, but when my kids get together and they're united and they're together, that makes me so happy. I don't know about you parents if you feel that way. I do. How happy do you think God is when we, his kids, get together? People from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania get together here in Puerto Rico with Christians in Puerto Rico. Wow, that's awesome. So, number one, we might say, how are we united? How do we find this unity? Well, we are united by what? By what we believe. By what we believe. And what is the source of our belief? The Word of God. The Word of the Lord. Even as he says here, Holy Father, I have given them your what? Your Word. Isn't that one of the critical rules of being a mom, to pass on to one's children the Word of the Lord? Of course, a prime example of that is the mother and grandmother of St. Paul's protege, Timothy, where he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says to him, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt where? In your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now resides in you. You see that? That's an important instruction to teach our kids the word. It's the basis of our faith. It's what unites us, right? In fact, do you know that the letters of the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, are an acronym for something? Did you ever hear this? B-I-B-L-E, you know what that stands for? Basic information before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. Basic information before leaving earth. Well, we could also say that the Bible is basic information before leaving the nest, before leaving the family, before going out into the world. But what better way to prepare them than to prepare them in the Word? I mean, my mother didn't simply take me to Sunday school. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. She taught me the Word. That's why Jesus prays that children will be one, as they are united around the truth and the power and the authority of God's Word. That's number one. But secondly, he also prays that we will be united in our love for one another, even as God the Father loves God the Son, as God the Son loves God the Father. In fact, you could argue that the Trinity is the first prototypical family and what familial love ought to look like. But note here that the nature of God's love for us as his children. Note here, it's not a sappy, sentimental kind of love, but instead it's a very tough love. For what does Jesus say here? He says that you and I are in this world, but we're not of this world. Because we're not of this world, what does that mean? That the world hates us. Why? Because we have the Word. We stand for the Word. We stand for absolute truth. We stand for God's truth. And there are a lot of people in the world who do not believe in that, and therefore they hate us. That's what Jesus says. But then what does he say? I do not ask you, Lord, that you take them out of the world. I'm not asking you to pull them out, give them a safe space. No, all I'm asking you to do is protect them from the evil one. In other words, God is like not like one of these helicopter parents, you know. As soon as their kid's in trouble, as soon as this happens, oh, as soon as they have a setback, as soon as they have a little boo-boo, as soon as some of the kids says something, oh, they're going to swoop in, and then they're going to protect them, and they're going to rescue them, and they're going to pull them out, and they're going to get them in their safe space. And you know what happens? We end up raising spoiled little brats, little babies, little weenies. What? Snowflakes. Okay. In fact, you know, I don't know, I remember when I was first a Christian, when I first became a believer in junior year in high school, I figured life was going to be great. I'm a Christian now. I got God on my side. God's going to bless me. It's going to be one blessing after another, after another. I discovered something different, though. I discovered that life actually got tougher. I actually had to grow a backbone. I actually had to say no to certain things. I actually had to resist peer pressure. I actually had to go a road alone at times, and that was not easy at all. In fact, I remember saying to the Lord, why don't we just skip this stuff called life? I'm going to heaven anyway. Why don't you take me now? Please, get me out of here. Get me out of this world. Do you ever think about that? I mean, why, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? I mean, we're going to end up in heaven anyway. Let's just fast forward. What I didn't realize, though, that life in between is discipleship class 101, 102, 103, 105, graduate level, PhD in the School of Hard Knocks. Right? You know what always kills me? It always kills me when I hear successful businessmen. They sort of brag, you know. You know, I grew up so poor, we were so poor, we couldn't even pay attention. I was so poor that my bedroom was so small, I had to go outside just to change my mind. That's how small it was. That's small. No, really. Oh, it was tough. Man, I had to struggle. I had to struggle every step of the way. I had to fight. I had to become really, really strong and tough. And that's why I'm the successful man I am today. And then the next breath, what will they say? But my kids are never going to suffer at all. I'm going to make sure they never have to suffer what I suffer. And what do they end up raising? A bunch of brats. I once heard a mom say, you know, once my kids are grown up, once my kids are grown up, then I can start working on my spiritual sanctification. I said, my dear, these three kids are your spiritual sanctification. This is how you get sanctified. This is how you become spiritual. In fact, I personally believe, this is a generalization, it's a stereotype I know, but I personally believe that women in general are more spiritual than men. Sorry, men, it's true. Generally speaking, women are more spiritual than we are. And I think one of the major reasons for that is so many women have spent so many of the years of their life selflessly loving other human beings, namely their children, and sacrificing themselves, and they have been sanctified in the process. That's why so often they put us to shame, spiritually speaking. Right? So good moms are moms who are not afraid to let their kids experience the hard knocks of life. Right? Yeah, I love the approach of Patsy Claremont. She talks about when her 6-year-old was off to first grade early in the fall of the year. She sent him off to the bus stop, and about 3 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. She ran the door, jerked it open. Who was standing there? But her first grader with his book bag and his lunch pail. And she says, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Mom, I'm quitting school." She thought, well, what motherly advice can I give him? You know, stitch in time saves 9. Feed a cold, starve a fever. No, it's feed a cold, starve a feed a starve a cold, feed a fever. That's what it is. Is that? No, that wouldn't work, she said. Then she said, "Wait a minute. Why do you want to quit school?" He said, "It's simple, Mom. It's long, it's hard, and it's boring." Then she had what she wanted to say. She said, "Son, that's exactly how life is. It's long, it's hard, and sometimes it's boring. Welcome to life. Now turn around and get on that bus." And sometimes motherly love, genuine love, tough love, godly love means we have to say no. 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 You will not. No, you can't. No way, Jose. No, no, no. Not on my watch, young man. Young lady. Right? That's the second thing we need to see here. Sometimes God's love looks like tough love. He doesn't take us out of this world, even if we're hated in this world. Get over it. But the third and last thing we need to see here is that sometimes tough love means saying no, but sometimes it means saying go. Get out there and go. Get out there and get on that bus. Get out there and face life. Isn't that also a third means of being one with God and being one with one another? Just as God the Father sent God the Son sends us, His disciples, out into the world to go. In fact, that's the third reason why we're united as one. We're united in what? In service to others. That's why we can unite with you folks from Pittsburgh. You're here in service of the Lord. In fact, have you ever noticed that the Lord says go a lot in the Gospels? Did you ever notice that? He says, go preach, go tell, go work, go into the highways and the byways, go into the town, go into the country, go to the other side of the lake, go into the deep, go into the streets, go into the city, go into the village, go to the lost sheep, go call your husband, go make it right with your brother, go and learn, go quickly, go in peace. Arise and go. You know what? If we as Christians were more occupied with the mission that God has given us, we would be less preoccupied with the minutiae that divides us, right? That's true. That's why our worship here may end here in a few minutes. But that's why our service is just starting. Because we are called to gather here in order to scatter out there and serve together. That's how we become united in mission. When we stop obsessing about ourselves and start focusing on the mission that God has given to each of us. Amen? In fact, in closing, I read about a pastor ask a woman in his church. He says, well, what do you do for a living, by the way? What do you do for a living? She said something interesting, slyly. She said, well, I'm a disciple of Christ, but she says, I am disguised secretly as a legal secretary. Don't tell anybody. That's a good lie. I'm a disciple of Christ, but I'm secretly disguised as a soccer mom. I am secretly disguised as a teacher. I'm secretly disguised as a bank teller, as a CEO. I'm secretly disguised of anything you want to put there in that blank. You see, that attitude can bring a change to almost any occupation that you have into a calling from God. For whatever our occupation, our vocation is always to be a servant of the Lord and a servant to others. No matter what position God has placed you. Christ prayed that we would be united. United by what we believe. United by how we love and who we love. United by whom we are seeking to serve and save for the Lord. Our text today ends with these words. As you sent me into the world, I send them into the world. Jesus is sending us into the world. He's calling us to go out there, to live the word, to love the lost, and to serve the needy. I don't think you can get a better job description than that one. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that you have elevated us from the slime of accidental evolution to being your children, creatures made in your image, who have the potential of near divinity in terms of creativity, intelligence, reason, most of all, love, actually loving others more than we love ourselves, something so unnatural, something so supernatural. We thank you for moms who have lived that in their lives, of loving us, their children, even more than they love themselves. Let us love others as they have loved us, as you have loved us, as you call us to love others in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 For our offertory today, we have something special. We are always blessed with Luis Manuel Tirado aquí on the piano, but Luis, you have a special person that's going to sing today?
Yes.
Would you like to introduce her?
see the other direction.